The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
...840-1360-97.5 WTAQ News, Talk, Sports. I got to tell you, I had a great show. In my opinion, I had a really good show put together bordering on great. I think Jason at the last minute made it spectacular. Now, he often does this. It's like, where am I going to fit this in? Which is good. I'm not complaining. Don't misunderstand. But this is really good. We're going to take this up after 10:06. And I think, Jason, you would agree that this dovetails into a topic that we had weeks ago about teachers versus parents and who's to blame. And I think this fortifies your position, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. It's some of the, most intriguing audio, frustrating, cute. It is all of those. No, it is all of those. It is. Cute isn't always good. What the hell are you talking about? This is what we in the business call a tease. Say, and we'll get to that at 10:06. It's just one of the better topics in terms of, it is a what is right, what is wrong topic. Also have a good one after 9 o'clock. Who should you buy your car from? That might not be the question you think it is. I have very cryptic teases today, don't I? Should I give away more than that? That's enough. Chris Christie is deciding who you should buy your car from. How's that for a tease? It's a car. Yeah, most people have heard of this car by now. Well, but it could impact all car makers, this debate. Well, just a ton of stuff. Oh, I forgot to tell Jason this. We have the greatest unhinged Badger report ever coming up in the show. As I said, a lot of stuff. But I want to start with a couple of things right here, right now. I actually want to start with the latest on the disappearance of Malaysian Air Flight 370, because I think this has become one of the greatest to date. Now, we'll see how and if and when it gets solved. Aviation mysteries in the history of aviation, which, if you think about it, commercial aviation is what, the 1930s-ish? I mean, the DC-3. The DC-3 was the first durable commercial airliner, if you will. The 1930s, somewhere around there. So in those 80-ish years, this might be the most amazing. You know what it reminds me of? And you can actually YouTube this now. A Twilight Zone episode called The Odyssey of Flight 33. It's actually, that was the first thing I thought of. Yesterday's developments, I think, are nothing short of amazing. First, you have the Chinese government saying that they have a satellite that seemed to have found, and I said to a friend last night, boy, if these aren't pieces of Flight 370, I'll be amazed. They apparently aren't. I am amazed. Now, what the Chinese released were very grainy, low-quality satellite images. What most people in the Western world felt is they're not showing us what they really have. And I don't think we would either. That they have higher quality resolution photos that convince them that these 70 by 60 feet or whatever they were, chunks, are pieces of Flight 370. They searched that area now has been searched. To me, that was a major development. Then the Wall Street Journal reports something that the Malaysian government is strongly denying. U.S. investigators suspect that Malaysia Airlines Flight 370's engines kept running for about 4 hours after its last known moment of contact at 1:30 a.m. on March 8th. Based on airspeed of 480 knots, this means the plane could have traveled an additional 2,200 nautical miles. Then they show the last known location, and they draw a circle with that in the center. That could put it any place. It could be on land in Australia. It could be in Beijing. It could be in northwestern India. It could be out in the middle of the Pacific on either side of it. It could be anywhere. However, this, again, is being adamantly denied by the Malaysian government. But here is what the Wall Street Journal reported. Investigators suspect that Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 stayed in the air for about 4 hours past the time it reached its last confirmed location, according to two people familiar with the details, raising the possibility that the plane could have flown for hundreds of additional miles under conditions that remain murky. Aviation investigators and national security officials believe the plane flew for a total of 5 hours based on data automatically downloaded and sent to the ground from the Boeing company's 777's engines as part of a routine maintenance and monitoring program. I didn't even know that existed, that the engines themselves sent data to the ground. Okay, if this report is wrong, as the Malaysian government contends, then somebody lied to the Wall Street Journal. That data is either there or it isn't. This is just that every end ends up a dead end, or every lead, I should say, ends up a dead end. It's just, this is getting weird, bordering on the paranormal. Where did a 200-foot-long, 212-foot wingspan aircraft go? And after these, it's okay, this was the early morning hours of March 8th local time. Yes, I know the conspiracy theories. I'm not even going to entertain those on the air. This is really becoming to me how, okay, well, now we've got something. No, we don't. Now we've got something. No, we don't. Now we've got something. Guess what? No, we don't. And you wonder, is there ever going to be anything tangible? I mean, do you know right now, when you just push all of this stuff away, there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing. The stolen passports, and I warned you that people were jumping on that and didn't realize that happens all the time. The planes just don't disappear, so you don't hear about it. I told you that wasn't that much of a lead, and I was right. Hannity and some other of the national shows made way too much of that. But it happens. I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying I suspected that was nothing. There is nothing. Early morning hours of March 8th local time. Today's the 13th. 5-6 days later, nothing. Not even a trace. Not, okay, well, we have this little piece of debris. Now we've got to try to find where the major debris field is. Nothing like that. With each day that there's no credible claim, and there has been no credible claim of responsibility, and with each day that this plane goes undiscovered, I think the chances that it was terror drop exponentially. That's what I believe. Again, that's just my opinion. I don't know. But this is one hell of a mystery. I mean, this, I'm just trying to think of anything that has lasted this long. I mean, there have been others where it's taken days to figure out where the aircraft is. But it really does seem to have, at this moment, just vanished. And that in the year 2014, there isn't more sophisticated data to keep this from happening. It's just... Jason, you're buying into the it was stolen conspiracy, are you? I don't know. I'm just asking you. You've thought that from the start? By whom? For what purpose? And how? And if you believe it's intact, where is it? But again, if you believe the Wall Street Journal's report, it could be anywhere from Beijing to Sydney. So if you knew that, you wouldn't be working for me. I'd be working for you. Exactly, if I was lucky. All right, then there's this one. The European Union says U.S.-made cheeses can't use old world names. Have you seen this one? As part of trade talks, the EU wants to ban the use of names like Parmesan, Feta, and Gorgonzola on cheese made in the United States. The argument is that the American-made cheeses are shadows of the original European varieties and can cut into sales and identity of the European cheeses. Errico, I have no idea how to pronounce his name. Errico Auriccio produced cheese with his family in Italy until he brought his trade to the United States more than 30 years ago. Now the European Union is saying his cheese isn't authentic enough to carry a European name. He is president of Wisconsin-based, and I've seen this in print, I don't know how to pronounce it. Belgiosio cheese? I've seen it, I just don't know how to pronounce it. It's a Wisconsin-based cheesemaker. Says he has no idea what he would call his Parmesan if he had to find a new name. Why couldn't he call it Wisconsin Parmesan? There's Wisconsin cheddar. By the way, I have friends who live elsewhere in the country that say they have seen cheese called Wisconsin cheese, as if that's a type of cheese produced somewhere else. I can't imagine that we would ever agree to this. It's been going on forever. So you call it Wisconsin Parmesan. You call it California Parmesan. Is that really any different from wines? There are wines made, and I learned this when we were in Sonoma Valley last year. There are wines made in California that bear European names because it's the exact same thing. Europeans came here and produced, and I guess replicated is really the right word, replicated these French and Italian, but mostly French, varieties of wines and German. And they're called that, but it's recognized they're produced in Sonoma or Napa Valley. It's Sonoma, not Sonoma Valley. Sonoma, Napa Valley, excuse me. Globally, how much of a dent is this putting in? The European Union wouldn't exactly say what it's proposing or even whether it will be discussed this week as a new round of talks on free trade agreement opens in Brussels. European Commission spokesman Roger Waite would only say the question is an important issue for the EU. Though it has not laid out a public proposal, the EU is expected to make similar attempts to restrict marketing of U.S.-made cheeses, possibly including Parmesan, Asaggio, Gorgonzola, Feta, Fontina, Grana, Munster. How is this one? Neufchâtel, I believe it is. I've had it. It's very good. And Romano. And it may not just be cheese. Bologna, Black Forest ham, Greek yogurt, Valencia oranges, and prosciutto. Oh, forget it. Really? All right. I had an interesting experience yesterday. I've been telling you about Proactive Weight Loss Solutions, and I said that I've kind of plateaued in this last week. In fact, according to my bathroom scale, I haven't lost any weight, which very unusual for Proactive Weight Loss Solutions, which I'll explain in a moment. So Dr. Litwin, as I've told you, he keeps a close eye on these things. Well, let's try this. Let's try that. This is just strange, though he's never seen that. Because of the way it changes your body, you should lose about a pound a day. You really should. Or anywhere from a half pound to a pound a day. So I go for my weigh-in yesterday, and Jason, I lost 3 pounds. It's my bathroom scale. So guess what I did last night? I went and bought a new scale. Because if your scale is working properly, you will see that kind of regular, safe, healthy weight loss with Proactive Weight Loss Solutions. And yeah, I'm getting more and more calls about how does it work. And one of the things I'm asked is, well, is it difficult? Well, you do need to be dedicated. And yeah, there are things other than just the food you eat that you have to get into your routine. But once you do, it really isn't all that difficult. It really isn't. But it is lifestyle change. I'm not disputing that. And as what happened with me this week, Dr. Litwin is there if you have any questions. So what it all entails and whether it's right for you, free assessment, very simple. Just call 920-268-1386. Again, maybe it is right for you, maybe it isn't. A lot of Jerry Bader Show listeners have found out it is. 920-268-1386. One other quick reminder. Sunday is the... I brought the wrong thing. We have to do it later in the show. Sunday is the Brown County Republican Party. I don't have the phone number because I brought the wrong thing. But I'm speaking. It's at the Rock Garden. I'm speaking. Reed Ribble is speaking. Jason is scolding me over there. A professional like you. Just hang on. Is this it? This isn't it either. I have two little sheets like this, and neither one is the right one. I know. I just grabbed the wrong thing in my office. We will mention it later in the show because this is really the last day. And by the way, they have been getting tremendous response. So if you do want to get in, you actually do kind of need to get in today. So I will, during an opportunity here, I will go get that from my office so we can let you know. Again, it's this Sunday, 5:30 at Rock Garden. I'll get you all the information, including where you could call, because Rock Garden needs to know by tomorrow. And from what I'm told, they're getting a lot of people who are attending. So we'll get you that information ASAP. After 9:06, most states don't allow car companies to sell their cars directly to you. You have to go through a dealer. Is it time for that to change? We'll see what you think in 8 minutes. It's 8:56.
You have high standards. You see room for